You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Listen to another parable, said Jesus. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never heard in the scriptures, read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. Then one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds, because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Dear God, we confess that our works alone are not good enough to earn our salvation. Holy God, we need your grace. And we thank you for your grace, which you have promised to us, that saves us. And so help us to have faith. Amen. Well, did you hear about the pastor who died and went to heaven?
Yes.
Yeah. My regular Bible study people are going to know this joke already, because it's one of my favorites. So there was a Lutheran pastor that died, and he went to heaven. We'll call him Pastor Olson. And so Pastor Olson gets to heaven and St. Peter at the pearly gates, and St. Peter says to Pastor, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, come on into heaven. And because you serve so faithfully, you get a brand new car. Most people have to walk around on the streets of gold, but you get to drive around in a nice new Chevy Impala." Yeah, not bad. Not a bad ride. Good power, nice room, good for a pastor. And the pastor said, "Thank you." And sure enough, everyone else is walking around on the streets of gold. This pastor's driving in style. And he thinks he's pretty cool until the next day he sees a Mercedes-Benz. He sees a Mercedes-Benz. Someone else is driving. Who's driving it? Father O'Donohue, the Roman Catholic priest. Pastor Olson knew him. He was a priest in the same town. And he thought, what's this about? And so he went back to St. Peter and said, St. Peter, thanks for my car and everything. I'm just curious, why does, you know, Father O'Donohue get a Mercedes-Benz? And St. Peter said, well, you know, you got to marry, you had a family, you got to enjoy all that richness of life, but the good father didn't. And so he gets a little extra perk in heaven. Don't you think that's okay? And Pastor Olson said, yeah, that's okay. That makes sense. So another day goes by. Then Pastor Olson sees driving. Maybe it was from CNC Motors. Because it was a Lamborghini. A Lamborghini in heaven on the streets of gold. And who was driving it? But the rabbi. Rabbi Greenbaum. Pastor knew him. He was a rabbi in the same town. And he thought, well, what's this about? So he went to St. Peter and he said, now, come on, St. Peter. I knew the rabbi. He was a nice man, but he had a family. He had kids. So why does he get a Lamborghini? And what did St. Peter say to him? He said, when you're related to the boss, you have connections. You have connections. Didn't. It's a silly pastor's joke. And we laugh at it because it plays about some of the things we wonder about heaven, right? Is heaven something you earn, right? If you're a really good person, do you, like, get extra benefits in heaven? It's just kind of silly. And then the joke, of course, is someone gets this huge perk that they didn't earn. They just have a connection. I wanted to tell this joke because our reading this Sunday really touches on some of the questions of people of faith that we have about God's relationship, covenantal relationship with God's people. It comes to us front and center in our readings this morning. There's this parable that Jesus tells about the vineyard, and those who have been called by God to work in the vineyard, eventually they kind of want to take it over. It's like a hostile takeover that they try to do, and they beat up the owner. The owner, typically, we would understand as God in the parable. And they beat up the slaves that are sent. Maybe those are like prophets. And then finally, the son is sent, right? And who's the son of God? Jesus. And in the parable, the son is killed. And so there's this question at the end, well, who is Jesus talking about here? And some have wondered, some have even written, is this parable about God's changing God's covenant with the Jewish people and taking it away? And I want to be really clear this morning that the answer to that question is no. That is not what this passage is about. The Bible is very clear that God's covenant with the Jewish people is everlasting. And Paul makes that really crystal clear in the book of Romans and other places. And so it raises this question, well then, who is it? Who are those tenants of the vineyard who just treat God's people so badly and have the right to live in the vineyard taken away from them? And the answer to that is it's you and it's me. It's every single person in this life. We struggle with something that we call works righteousness. The problem of those people who were leasing the vineyard, and they didn't want to give it back to God, is that they thought that their hard work earned them their salvation. They thought, you know, we have worked so hard, we deserve to keep all of this for ourselves. So that applies to any human being that has ever struggled with that. And I would submit to you that every human being does struggle with that. Anytime we think that heaven is something you earn, we're struggling with that. That's what Luther called works righteousness. Historically speaking, in the ancient Near East, empire after empire had its day, had its turn to kind of take over. You had Egypt, you had Assyria, you had Babylon. And each one of them struggled with that desire to just take it all and not give it back to God. And of course, in Jesus' day, it was the Roman Empire. Every human being has that struggle. the struggle to think that we somehow have to earn our salvation or that we deserve it. But the good news this morning is that we're not saved by our works. We're saved by God's grace, God's unconditional love for us. We are saved by grace and not by our works. Paul reminds us of this in the letter to the Philippians. Thank you for reading this morning, Maria, so well. The prize of eternal salvation is given to us freely by God through God's grace. And faith is just believing it, hanging on to it, accepting that God could be that good, that merciful, that loving. Faith is believing in God's grace, poured out, just like it says, to all nations, all peoples, all languages. So what does faith look like? And how do we do it? Recently, I've been reading a book called The Choice by Dr. Edith Eger. And she is a psychologist that helps people through trauma. And she herself is quite capable of teaching it because she is a survivor of the Holocaust. She's Hungarian. She's a Hungarian Jew and was born and raised in Hungary. And when the Nazis invaded Hungary, they took her and her sister and her mom and dad. They had one sister who escaped because she was studying music in Budapest. Edith lost both of her parents in Auschwitz. But she and her sister survived. The day before the Allied forces liberated Auschwitz, it wasn't a really good survival because they took her and her sister out the day before the Allied forces liberated it and took them on a death march. And they lost the vast majority of the young women that were on this march. But Edith managed to survive with her sister Magda. This is a true story. She remembers when the American troops found her and they couldn't sort out who was alive and who wasn't. It was a miracle that they even found her. She had to summon. They were literally looking at people and saying, okay, who's alive? And she tried raising her hand, and she was so weak she couldn't. And finally, she had been trained as a ballerina. It was a very, cultured family. And she said, if I could just do a pirouette, then they could see me. And so in her mind, even though she physically couldn't do anything, she believed with all of her heart that God had given her this ability to dance. And so in her mind, she started dancing, and it was enough. It was enough for her to raise her arms up just a little bit. And then they found her, and they helped her. She said she remembered getting different colored pieces of candy, and later she learned they were called M&Ms. She was able to return to her family home in Hungary with her sister Magda, and they found their older sister. They were reunited. But it was really hard to put their lives back together, obviously from the trauma. And one of the things that ached so badly was that their piano had been taken. They had a nice family piano, and they would gather around it nightly and sing. And without that, it was just this aching hole in the middle of their household. Until one day, Edith was at a coffee shop right down the block in their little town in Hungary, and they saw the family piano. And she said, that's it. And she went to the coffee shop owner, and she said, sir, this is my piano. And he said, no, this is not yours, no such thing. So they thought, what are we going to do? Can we prove it? And they remembered that there was a local man who tuned pianos, and he would always tune their pianos. So they went and they found him, and they said, can you identify our piano? And he was a good businessman. He kept very good records of each piano, its serial number, who it belonged to, the day he serviced it. So he went into the coffee shop. He opened up the lid. He read the serial number. He read that it belonged at their family home address to their family name. And right as he did this, every man that was in the coffee shop stood up, gathered around the piano, picked it up, and they carried it back to their apartment and put it in there. And Edith writes, it was so easy to identify that piano and put it back in its home. And she said, I wish it could be so easy for me that someone could look inside me and see who I belong to and where I belong so that I could put my life together. And she had to have faith in order to do that. And it's true. Inside each of us, we are indelibly marked by the image of God. We are made in the image of God. And because you are made in the image of God, and because Jesus died for all people, you are saved. We each have a place in God's kingdom. And God journeys with us every day in this life, sustaining us and guiding us on the journey toward the prize. So it's about having faith. And when we have faith that we belong to God and everything belongs to God, once again, it's this idea of being in God's vineyard. That will give us the strength to work hard each day to do the difficult things that sometimes are in our path. That faith sustains us, that we are saved by God's grace. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.